Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast Show number 176. I tell you what, I'm fucking doomed. I have to apologise. I'm not going to be able to talk over people as much as usual today because it was my stag do at the weekend. I missed all football. I'm very sleepy. So I'm going to hand over to Dan and Chris and then just interject a bit.
Don't do that.
I won't. But yeah, I'm not in a great state. I remember Ross Barkley's goal on Saturday, and I remember taunting my mates who are Liverpool fans about the fact that they weren't going to win the league, and that is about it from football of the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was out and about quite a lot this weekend. It's bloody bank holidays.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm still getting too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Sunday night still ruined me.
Should we kick off at a Liverpool game? It's all over.
After the weekend, so I was just about recovered. I fell asleep when it was still 0-0.
I fell asleep at 1-0.
And then woke up the next morning and I saw 3-3. I thought, oh, that sounds like a great game. And then I saw how it happened. I thought,
I fell asleep at 1-0 and Liverpool were pretty much cruising. Woke up at midnight and then dragged myself into bed. None the wiser. Was on the tube in the morning and just looked over someone's shoulder and saw Liverpool collapse from 3-0 up. So I wasn't even sure if they'd lost 4-3 or what happened. But I mean, you could see exactly what happened. Because I can actually, the bit I can talk about is the pre-match interview with Brendan Rodgers, because I was awake for that bit. When Jeff Shreves asked him, he said, basically, and he called it, he said, are you going to go for a big win, basically? And Brendan Rodgers was just like, no. Look, we're going to go, first and foremost, we've got to win this game. Like, we've got to win this game, you know, and we'll worry about the rest later. But you could see it 3-0 up. So you haven't seen the highlights, but that's exactly what they thought. They thought, we're 3-0 up, like, there's 15 to go.
Palace aren't going
to
get anything,
No, let's try and get back that goal difference and score as we can.
What he was talking about in the press the other day, he was referring back to the Chelsea beating Wigan 8-0 on the last day of the season a few years ago, even though they would have won the league anyway. He said, no, we can go out and do that to anyone. Fucking daft.
I mean, it was really stupid, because the defending was absolutely shambolic. It was like they were. The thing is, like, you could just see it a mile away. Like, it looked like they were chasing, like, you know, they were 3-0 down and they were chasing to get back in the game, because they were just going gung-ho. And Palace just absolutely destroyed them on the break.
Do you think it's down to the defenders that Liverpool have, or the system Rodgers plays for their defence? Because their defence has been pretty poor. Mingelay, I think, is a very good goalkeeper.
He's had quite a bit of stick.
I think it's difficult to really blame a goalkeeper depending on the system, because unless they're being forced to play up the pitch as a sweep keeper, which he doesn't do so much.
No, which is pretty much Lloris. The rest of no one. Yeah.
Well, Pepe Reina used to, and there was some talk earlier in the season that Mignolet wasn't a sweep keeper, which he isn't. But when you look at the back four, is it that the way that people are set up to attack so much and attack quickly?
Well, in theory, there must have been some sort of. So, you know, we can only speculate. We talk about it all the time, of like knowing, you know, getting the insight into Premier League football and the tactics, everything like that. But surely an order must have come from the bench, or must have come from somewhere, for them to go and attack more. You wouldn't have thought that those players would have taken it upon themselves at 3-0 up and gone, right, lads, just between all of us. Because if they had started to push forward and leave the gaps at 3-1, surely Rodgers or someone would have barked from the bench, you know, keep your shape, let's not do anything. Yeah, they were all over the place.
It's going to take an absolute miracle for them to win the league now, surely.
Technically, they still could
do it, but I don't think City are going
to. No, City need to get 4 points out of the last two home games.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to, like. I mean,
strange things will happen at
West
City.
West Ham and who is it?
Aston Villa.
West Ham and Villa.
Villa tonight, isn't it?
And then hopefully they'll have Burnley on the first day of next season, just to give them the hat-trick of claret and blue teams in a row.
That would be nice.
But you never know that this time of the season, it is a funny time of year.
But Villa and West Ham have got nothing to play for.
Well, they're playing for pride. People like Stuart Downing came out after Villa won at the weekend and said, we all love the manager, we're playing for him. He's at West Ham. And Allardyce under a lot of pressure. Obviously, if the team all love him, then who knows, they might be playing for him. And likewise at Villa, you've got a scenario where Lambert's potentially on the way out, but they're going to want to finish with West Brom. They're going to want the prize money that comes from it.
Do you know what was quite interesting? I think it was last night I was watching a bit of the Spanish football show with Guillem, and they were talking about Was it Levante's 2-0 win?
Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, Levante's 2-0 win, and the 2-2 draw between Barcelona and...
Was it not Real who drew 2-2?
No, Barca got conceded a late equaliser. The weekend.
I think Real drew 2-2 as well because Ronaldo scored in the last minute.
Barca were 2-1 up with a couple of minutes to go in injury time. They conceded 2-2. Basically, they were saying, obviously, it gets that it's not so much the case. They're referencing the English league as well as the Spanish league.
Yeah.
But it's not so much the case in England where the mid-table teams sort of stop playing in a way. They said the culture in Spain very much is that those mid-table teams, the last few weeks of the season, if they are safe, they literally don't bother playing. Like I said, they'll just turn up. All they're thinking about is their summer holidays, and they don't care. Like, is there a way of incentivising them to, I don't know, to get extra money bonuses if they win those games?
There's been the argument in the past of clubs, I can't remember when it was, but I'm sure one club offering another club, I think it was in Belgium or somewhere, money if they beat.
Yeah.
So let's say Anderlecht offering FC Lommel money to beat Club Bruges in order to allow them to... That's when you start to get into a grey area.
Yeah, it's a very grey area.
One thing I do think is you look at a team like West Ham and they've got Andy Carroll and Stuart Downing, former Liverpool players, plus Kevin Nolan, lifelong Liverpool fan, plus all these other players throughout these clubs have club allegiances, maybe to City or Liverpool or Chelsea. They're going to be wanting to play.
Yeah, that's individual, isn't it? Like you said, that's fair enough, but like, that's three people on a pitch. I completely agree the point. There will be some people that have their own motives, but I think I quite like the idea of I don't know, added incentives, because it can get to a point in the league, I mean, not the fucking Championship, which we'll get onto in a minute, but there is a point where there are teams that have nothing to play for.
And it's going
to
lose interest in the whole overall match. Keep it fresh.
Like, is there something you can do? But obviously you can't pay someone to lose.
No.
but surely in theory you could give an extra incentive to win.
There are things, certainly with teams lower down the league, maybe it wouldn't surprise me if clubs said, well, if you do this next season, maybe we'll have an agreement where our best young players go to you on loan, or some of our fringe players will offer you them at a discounted rate, or things like that. I mean, I don't know, it's a very tricky situation. I mean, I'm sure most of the Aston Villa players are just thinking about cheese if they're anything like one of their fans at S Furnival, who calls up the Villa on Twitter, and all he wants us to discuss today is cheese. So maybe they're not interested. I had a lovely burrito stuffed with cheese at the weekend, I'll tell you that.
I made an absolute epic man with mozzarella the other day. Nice. It was one of the key
famously Stephen Gerrard's favourite cheese.
Melted,
yeah.
Obviously. It's a good type of cheese.
Yeah.
Well, I feel a bit sorry for him in that situation, because he's clearly not a very well-educated man, and it was asked...
especially on the cheese.
He's clearly not stupid either, I'm saying that, but when you're a young lad, working class, never really had that much formal education to be playing football, he's not going to go, well, I do quite like a nice gorgonzola from now and then.
Yeah, vintage camembert.
If I had the option of mozzarella melted or not,
melted all day long.
You can't not have it.
I think there's something very comforting about a melted cheddar on a nice bit of toast.
Mate, I had cheese on toast for the first time in years the other day, and it was a fucking great night.
Major advocate of cheese on toast. I would back it to run for Prime Minister.
Yeah.
If it was running.
Probably do a better job.
Yeah. Getting political again. Speaking of young lads, James Wilson last night. Had anyone heard of him before? Like, obviously, being a United fan, I had.
Really?
Nice. Done very well for the reserves. Come out of nowhere, scored two goals on his debut. Yeah.
Knowing it wasn't on TV.
It was, if you could find it. I actually listened to it on the wireless. So
that was really nice. I mean, I've got fuck all else to do on a Tuesday night. Yeah, why the hell wasn't it on TV?
Yeah.
I
know, unfortunately, it means nothing.
That's the argument, though, against... Because, obviously, in other countries, every game is televised. Over here, it's not to protect people going to local football on a Saturday at 3 o'clock. But there was nothing it was up against last night, so why couldn't Sky have just offered extra money into the pot? Not even necessarily... It's obviously you get more money depending on how often you're on. For games like that, why don't they just say, well, we'll split the money amongst everyone. So you'll still get a bit more money.
There needs to be something like that done.
I hate the way it's done
at the moment.
Although last night, as we were, when there was a... I'm not very good with my Italian football. Sassuolo. Yeah, they came up from
Serie B
last year. They've only won 7 games all season, I think. In the drop zone last night, but had an epic 4-3 win at Fiorentina last night. It was fucking brilliant, actually. I mean, to be fair, I watched that because the United game wasn't on, but it was fucking brilliant. Like, they went 3-0 up in the first half. A young lad with a first half hat trick came back to 3-1 in second half, 4-1 second half, and last 10 minutes Fiorentina bombarded, got to 4-3 and had a goal disallowed for offside in injury
Anderson
time.
Anderson scored a hat trick.
Not so much, but Rito Ziegler came on for Sassuolo. Yeah, he came on for like last 10 minutes.
Pretty,
it was epic. Like, it was like 4-3, and he was like, yeah, it was a really good advocate for Italian football, actually. Not such a good advocate for Italian football. We're so good at this, boy. Who was it? It was my mate Dan Greenfield.
Dan Greenfield, big fan of anyone that hates the Football League. he raised up, and I hadn't seen this because football at the weekend. Thank you, Daniel.
It
was the Coppa Italia final, Napoli versus Fiorentina. Obviously, there is still tremendous problems with hooliganism and ultras, but one of the Napoli ultras before the game got shot by what is alleged to be a Roma ultra, which was held in Rome, and apparently was an ambush, who was later found unconscious by the side of a road in Rome.
With a broken leg. Well, supposedly, I was reading up on it, and supposedly he's a gardener and he works somewhere, and apparently he started berating a load of this is obviously reports that I've read, that he started berating a load of the Napoli fans, and then he got scared because they sort of started coming towards him. He's run back into his kiosk, or something, whatever that means, grabbed a gun, and then started shooting. So
I think he shot 2 people.
Jesus.
More, I think.
Three or three,
yeah.
One of which was serious. It went through his lung and into his spinal column. But all the Napoli fans were hearing rumours that a Napoli fan had been shot dead.
Right.
And therefore the ultras were putting tremendous pressure on for the game not to be played, to the point that Marek Hamšík, the Napoli and Slovakia captain, had to come out and talk to the fantastically named Jenny the Swine, who is head of the Napoli ultras and was wearing a t-shirt in support of a Catania ultra who was arrested for murder a few years ago.
2007, but I mean the whole thing is fucking unbelievable.
Sounds like mafia. It's crazy, isn't it?
Jenny the Swine's dad allegedly was in the local mob.
Ridiculous.
The game did eventually go ahead, Napoli won 3-1.
45 minutes late, but the fact that, like, on pitch side, wasn't it? It was on pitch side. Hamšík had to have convinced the ultras to let the game go ahead.
Yeah.
Like,
they've all come out and said, no, it wasn't that. They were just explaining the situation, relaying the actual news to him. But it harks back to the Rome derby in 2004 when Totti had to do simmer. And one of the people he was talking to was the guy who allegedly shot these people.
Really?
Because there was rumours that a child had died, being killed outside the ground by Lazio fans. That game actually didn't go ahead. That was called off. Those were the heady days of Paolo Di Canio, so I'm sure he was there trying to calm things down as well.
Can you imagine that happening over here?
It wouldn't happen. It's ridiculous.
One side note from the game, though, it now means that Rafael Benitez has won a trophy in his first season at the last 5 clubs he's managed: Valencia, Liverpool, Inter Milan, Chelsea, and now Napoli. So, say what you like about Rafa, but a great record.
It's a silver. Yeah.
But it's just insane. I mean, can you imagine John Terry having to climb up into this Matthew Arden stand to chat to some nutter?
Are we allowed to play the game, please?
Probably his dad. He'd probably be chatting to his dad. Come on, Dad.
Oh, speaking of fucking dodgy accents that you just tried to do, have you seen fucking Arsenal's little stupid song for the cup final?
I knew you'd like this.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, what is it? What's the song?
She wore a yellow ribbon.
And I mean, it's only about, I've only seen a 40 second clip of it, but you got Mertesacker trying to do a cut me out.
I've heard about them singing. I haven't heard the song. I've read about them singing.
The comments underneath are hilarious. You've got basically a load of Tottenham fans saying, what bricks these are.
Yeah.
And then Arsenal fans saying, they're footballers, not singers. Don't comment on their singing. Don't judge them for that.
The bit that looks quite funny is Oxlade-Chamberlain and I think it's Jenkinson. I think maybe. But they're sort of giving it the proper... lads in the pub, arms in the air, singing like,
yeah.
And then you get to all the Germans and people like are trying to sing it along. I don't even think they know what they're singing.
No,
yeah. And it just looks all a bit awkward. But I quite like the Oxlade Chamberlain got his eyes shut, sort of arms in the air, like belting it out.
Yeah.
That's
just wishing it to be over.
Jesus,
that's quite funny.
I'll look at that.
But, speaking of music, though,
go on,
boom. Anyone wondered what's happened to Adrian Mutu?
I did until recently when I saw a stunning bit of news about him.
It is, but where's he? He's playing back in his hometown, isn't he?
In Romania.
But he's not just playing football. He is going to be in Snoop Dogg's latest music video playing a playboy.
Is he still called Snoop Dogg or is he now Snoop Lion?
He was Dogg, then Lion, and now he's reverted back to the original Snoop Doggy Dogg. Snoop Doggy Dogg, of course, yeah.
He'll always be Snoop Doggy Dogg, but yeah. He's now back to Snoop Dogg. But Adrian
Mutu, what's his motherfucking name?
Snoop Doggy Dogg. He's playing one of the roles in Snoop Dogg's new music video because he's that much of a lad.
Is that a wow or a bow wow wow yippee yo yippee yay?
Yes,
bow
indeed.
Wow wow yippee yo. I love Snoop Dogg.
Stop that now.
Speaking of something other than me rapping, I don't have anything to go to because I'm fucking mashed. So somebody else sprays the topic.
Well, I'm going
to
go back. I'm going to keep on the music theme.
Go on then.
I'm going to keep on the music theme. And the reason why Fulham have been relegated from the.
Daniel, well done.
Yeah. You've just been there the last minute. Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, it is classic Al Fayed. I mean, the guy is absolutely stark raving mad. Mm. But I love the fact he actually came out and said the reason that Fulham were relegated was because of the Michael Jackson statue was taken down.
Was it September? It was taken from Craven Cottage?
It was early in the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, so sort of September, end of August, I think, that they took it.
And, you know, it was downhill from there.
I'll tell you the men's team are doing terribly, but the kids' teams are doing brilliantly now. Yeah. They're really happy to go to training these days. They're actually turning up.
Leave it, Michael.
Allegedly.
Leave it, Michael.
Speaking of things that have been retired from somewhere, two great fullbacks have retired this week. Well, I say two great fullbacks. One of them's Wayne Bridge, but the other one is a true bona fide legend.
Who
of
must
the game.
Be 704 by now?
He's about the same age as Giggsy. He is Javier Zanetti.
Absolute
who
legend.
Is someone you don't necessarily think about in this country because you just assume he's retired.
Yeah, I was going to say I thought he must have retired a couple of years ago, but no, still
for a start.
On.
What is it with the likes of him and Maldini and Giggs playing on for really long and still being handsome devils? Mm. I remember the days when your 40-year-old footballers were your fucking John Burridges and your Dave Bessants.
Ian Dowies.
Just getting increasingly bad.
Battered and ugly faces.
It's unbelievable, but Javier is a true legend. I think he's won it all apart from maybe the World Cup. He hasn't won the World Cup, so not maybe, there's no maybe about it, but I'm pretty sure he's won the UEFA Cup, the Cup Winners' Cup, the
Champions League.
Champions League, he's won
numerous titles.
Serie A, he's won Coppa Italia, he's won the Coppa America with Argentina. Just a real great of the game.
Was there no chance of him playing in the World Cup then?
No, he's retired from international football.
Would he done that a while ago?
Yeah. He wasn't at the last World Cup, I don't think. I remember him scoring from that fantastically worked free kick in 98 when England were 2-1 up, and I think it was Veron dummied shoot laid off to him and he put it past Seaman.
I'll go back to the dummying free kicks. He's the sort of player that he'll be there though, but he'll be at the World Cup.
Oh, I would think
Zanetti will be with the Argentina squad. He's the sort of player that
he'll be there in some sort of punditry role.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure. I mean, just surely with the squad, like
just walking down the Copacabana Beach, being the most handsome devil there.
So going back to those free kicks, did you see the Japanese league this weekend? There was a free kick on the edge of the box. I mean, how they score from it, I don't know, because it was a classic. It was just on the edge of the box, I think, because it can't have been in the box, or it might have been. and there was the old seven players lined up behind it, and six of them dummied it before the seventh one smashed it in the top corner. It was like the most basic. Everyone knew that the last person was clearly going to be taken. It looked like, because they all ran over it, not really looking like. Apart from maybe the third person looked like he might have a shot.
Yeah.
But all ran over it and banged it at the top of the net.
Well, speaking of ridiculous free kicks and. Just going back quickly to that United game, I'm low to it. But how ridiculous is it that the whole goalkeeper in the last minute had to apologise for saving Ryan Giggs' free kick on what is probably probably his last appearance at Old Trafford. It was a great free kick. We're going for the top corner, tipped over the bar, fantastic save. But he actually apologised to the crowd and to Giggsy.
Brilliant.
Sorry.
Good lad. And one of my last random stories on free kicks. Brazilian club Ponte Preta, Brazilian Serie B team, unveiled a spectacular new free kick routine, free kick routine at the weekend when they were playing Paraná in Sao Paulo. Again, I think this one, the Japanese one was just inside of the box. Or outside of the box. I think it was just outside of the box again. But because it was so close, they not only set up the standard, you know, 5-6 man wall standing up, they also had one player lying down behind it. So to prevent shooting along the deck.
Yeah.
Which is actually...
That's actually a
really good idea.
And within the laws of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's lying down the deck with his arms behind his back. So I mean, he's not... Bearing in mind, a lot of time if I'm in a wall in a free kick, I cover my manhood. But obviously, he's thought, I'm not even going to gamble on this. So he was very much exposed, the lad, because he's got his arms behind his back. So if that ball went anywhere near
him... Surely you just do it with your back, so you've got your arse facing the ball.
No, he's facing the ball.
That's what I do, surely.
That's what we would play. Did anyone used to play tan arse at school?
No.
Well, you know heads and volleys, maybe, where you can only score a head or a volley, you have one person in goal.
We're playing that
by Sagdu, and then once you get to 10, whoever's in goal and sees the 10th goal,
we had a different name for it now.
We used to play bums.
Bums, yeah.
Which is
which is Brighton, aren't you? That's harsh.
What school do you go to, Jen?
I don't like that, Jen. You know I'm a... I'm moving to Brighton in the summer. Go, that kind of joke
because you're not really with it, that's fine, you know. They'll keep you up game, and if you drop the ball, then you get a B. Yeah. And then
sore ass, we used to
That's more like horse. We used to play where you had to score goals and you could only score a volley or a header. And if you caught it, someone else went in goal.
Same rules, different name.
End of that story is the guy chipped over the wall into the top corner, so it didn't make a fucking difference. It's a good idea. In theory, it's a good idea if someone lying on the deck.
But then I suppose if you see that person lying on the deck, you're not going to shoot, are you? You're not
going to
hit it at them. That's
basically
a deterrent more than
that. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. But the shit thing is, only half the people in the wall jumped. So it was a bit fucking stupid in the end. But anyway.
Well, do you want someone who's much more of a hero to the LGBT community than me? And that is, have you seen the story this week about, there's a film coming out on the American Samoan national football team?
No.
They famously lost 31-0.
Famously lost 31-0 to Australia. Archie Thompson scored 13.
I didn't hear what you mumbled the first bit. Say again.
There's a film coming out about the American Samoan national football
team.
They played in Oceania. They lost in...
Oceania? I was there the other night.
In Brighton.
Oh. Oh, right. I didn't know they were playing there.
They do, yeah. In 2001 they lost to Australia 31-0 in world qualifying. Dutch Coast, the film, I can't remember what it's called, it's probably mentioned somewhere in here, but
Road to Glory,
Field of Dreams,
against all odds.
But so basically Thomas Rongen, who's a Dutch coach.
Thomas Rongen.
I'm sure that's the local, he's a Rongen. But he's
Thomas Rongen is one of the best surnames I've ever. Hi, I'm Rongen.
He is described as a maverick in here as well. He used to play with George Best in the 70s in America. But he's gone over to coach him. The story's all about the look to the last World Cup qualifiers and how they won their first game 2-1 against Tonga. But one of their players, 25-year-old Jaya Salua, centre-half, is was born Jonathan and is a transgender woman, but because of rules has to play in the men's game and plays for American Samoa, and are apparently one of their best players.
But for all intents and purposes is a woman.
Lives as a woman. It's part of Samoan culture, it's a lot more accepted there, and it talks about apparently, fun fact, Manu Tuolangi, the
his brother,
England rugby player, his brother, similar thing, is lives as a woman.
Now, a woman.
And they beat Tonga 2-1 and drew with the Cook Islands, so they're now 197th in the world, ranking out 209. They're no longer the worst nation in the world. They're above San Marino and Andorra. So,
And that's saying something. Brilliant.
Yeah, the film's coming out, Next Girl Wins, it's called.
That's it.
Just seen it. But looks really interesting, really heartwarming. Story, apparently very good.
Females in football.
Oh, there we go, yeah. Yes,
we have another link. Yeah. Michael, I've got
the story here, it's been announced today that Clermont Foot in Ligue 2 in France, the second division, have appointed Helena Costa as their manager. First female coach in a sort of top professional division in Europe.
Nope. Michael. First female manager in France.
In France.
The second only in Europe.
So who is the first?
The first one was Carolina Maras, who took over third division Italian outfit Vita Bess in 99. However, she resigned after two games.
Well, there you go.
So, that's good pub quiz knowledge, that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah. I didn't even have that written down. Oh, that's a lie.
Now we know.
That's a huge lie.
Helena used to be a scout for Celtic.
Yeah, I know. She's got a bit of pedigree. Like, she was the coach of Qatar. She was the coach of Iran, the women's team.
Yeah.
I said a scout for Celtic. And there was one other fact. I can't remember.
She spent 13 years as a youth coach for Benfica.
Youth coach? I mean,
how old is 30? How old is she?
She's 36. She comes a lot into her young life.
Yeah.
But
and there's absolutely no reason why she can't do as good a job as anyone else. She's got the pedigree to go with it, like you say.
The argument for years was Hope Powell, who was England women's manager, did very, very well. I think we got to the European Championship final. Brought the game on tremendously in this country. There was always talk of her maybe getting a lower league job, which never came to fruition, and ultimately time at England tailed off about, I think she was sacked eventually.
Yeah, she was a few years ago now, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Sacked. But, good luck to her.
Fair enough.
Interesting to see what happens, what develops of that story.
Have we got any more stories, or should we go on to a few listener suggestions?
We haven't really talked about any of the football at the weekend yet.
No, we haven't so much. I mean, United lost, Spurs lost, hence why we've not spoken much about it.
Oh, so just going back to fucking David Myler, what a prick. I'm sorry. Yeah. What an idiot. He's now going to miss the cup final, isn't he?
You know, it's not been announced whether he's been charged yet, but I would expect it to be today.
Have you seen it? The footage? The stamp? On the other side? Just absolutely fucking stupid. This is a game that you're in a game that means nothing.
Yeah.
You've got
in the last minute.
Was it the last minute?
It was maybe 2 minutes ago.
Did he get seen?
No.
Oh, no.
A free kick was given against Januzaj, because Januzaj had slid in.
Oh, yeah. It was given. Januzaj was given it a little bit of niggle here and there, and I can understand that I'd probably have given him a little strong arm off, you know, Januzaj. He's going down, a little sort of shove, and don't do that again, lad. I'll sort you out. Don't stand. I mean, he properly stamps on his leg.
It's not like Hull for fighting for relegation.
No, and he's got the fucking. I really hope. I've got nothing against David Myler in general, but I really hope he misses. He gets banned for the cup final this weekend because it's just stupid. And I don't. I wish he doesn't, because he's a very important player for Hull, and I want Hull to beat Arsenal.
Yeah.
But in that, I just think it's. I hate people like that. I hate footballers like that. It's there's one thing to do the little niggles. In fact, that reminded me of the Atletico game when they lost at the weekend. Diogo Costa. I want him in the Premier League because he is such an arsehole. he's given the Levante defender, centre-back, a proper dig in the ribs. An elbow to the ribs, nasty. But then the Levante defender has almost right hooked him round the face, completely got missed by the referees.
He's going to be in trouble in the Premier League if he comes to Diego Costa.
But that's the thing, because that sort of thing goes kind of unnoticed a bit in the Spanish league.
Well, not, over
it's,
here.
It's not. Nah, I mean, he will be. I kind of want to see how he survives in it, because if he takes that sort of game into this sort of league, in our sort of league. Like I said, he'll be banned every week.
Yeah.
But he'll have to adapt. I mean, horrible. But then, there's one thing having the little niggles, getting under your opponent's skin. Fair enough. It's what part of the things I love about the game. You know, there is the
psychology.
Line, yeah, 100%. But then outright assault is just fucking shit. There's no place for it whatsoever. It's fucking stupid.
Right.
But so we got to start the Premier League.
Yeah,
the Premier League. Obviously, thing to note was Liverpool, in theory, blowing the title race. You look at Crystal Palace, and it was them that fucked up Chelsea's when Chelsea lost there. They've done over Liverpool. It's not a nice place to go, which we've said a lot, but obviously Man City did the job. Trying to think why the football was on.
Arsenal beat West Brom. As I say, nothing to play for really in that game. We've already got fourth. There's nothing actually.
Yeah, it was. I suppose the interesting thing was to see that Arsenal play a pretty strong team.
Yeah.
Which is one of the big things they were talking about before the game. And obviously Pepe Mel would have thought hopefully he'll play a weakened team. But he pretty much played the strongest team. And who was it that picked up a knock? One of the Arsenal players.
To be fair, Arsenal can still finish third.
Oh, that's true, sorry.
I meant to say we've already got Champions League football.
Yeah, they can technically still finish third.
Yeah, it'd be very unlikely, but...
Yeah, but there was one player who looked like, I can't remember who it was, at one point looked like he might go down injured, and you're thinking... It was interesting for Wenger to play a full-strength team the weekend before a cup final. But they did the job. And obviously, Fulham
mentioned that. Yeah, Fulham a few weeks ago, we all thought they'd survive. And that it shows what that whole game did to them, going 2-0 up and blowing it, because they would have every chance. Fair play to Sunderland.
I mean, Sunderland have been phenomenal. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, Poirier's done... I mean, he did a fantastic job at Brighton until Pepe.
Yeah.
He did... You know, obviously, the job he's done at Sunderland has been absolutely unbelievable. And, he's got to take a lot of credit, I think. And bringing Connor Wickham back was a great decision.
Well, it was great work by him to set up the goal. And, it also shows that the problems at United didn't begin and end with Moyes. There are still wider issues.
100%. And there was always going to be a lift when Giggsy came in and took that.
Especially against
such
a terrible Norwich side.
Exactly.
Norwich's relegation could be confirmed. We're recording this on Wednesday. I think it'll probably end up going live on Thursday. It could be confirmed with
this last game of the season.
And obviously Cardiff.
Yeah, Cardiff gone. No great surprise. You wonder what could have been if Malky Mackay had stayed.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest. I think Felix at Fulham did everything he could.
Yeah.
I mean, he really did everything he could. I told you this morning, that's twice now I bumped into Lewis Holtby in his little baseball cap on the platform at Waterloo Station at 8:45 in the morning, obviously heading towards training, as you said, but I thought it was weird that he had literally nothing on him. Literally, and he looked like a little boy waiting for the train by himself. Okay, he's got his wallet in his back pocket, I imagine.
Yeah.
But nothing. Like, no wash bag, no...
Yeah.
Literally...
Boot bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, they've probably got it all at the ground, but you'd think that you'd have something. A little bag.
In with a boot bag and training.
Yeah. But no, he had nothing with him. And I've twice seen him. He does look like a little
boy. No can of links or anything.
No. Nothing. Just his little baseball cap. Bless him.
Yeah.
But, there was obviously big things that happened this weekend with confirmation of Fulham and Cardiff, and with Liverpool pretty much blowing it. But without a doubt, the most exciting for me, especially, was the Championship.
Yeah, a great last day. I think Jim sent us all the video of the Birmingham fans.
Unbelievable. I mean, so you had. You had the Brighton game and the Reading games on Sky, and before I went out for the day, I was keeping an eye on both. Brighton weren't playing well, but then you had Blackburn and Wigan, and Blackburn had to score a ridiculous amount of goals to get anywhere near, and started off well, but then Wigan came back in. The second goal for Reading was one. It was, I can't remember the lad's name. He scored an absolute worldie recently as well. It was basically as a Dan-esque volley from outside of the box on his right foot, on his favourite foot, nothing. But the ball's dropped from a good 20 yards in the air, and the technique.
Was it Lafondre?
No, it wasn't. No, he went off injured. It was
one Reading player I can remember.
Black player plays in the middle. I can't remember. Anyway, it was one of the best goals of the year, without a doubt. Literally rocket into the top left hand corner, enough to secure playoff place. Like it deserves to playoff place. And obviously with them drawing 2-2 and Brighton drawing 1-1. That was enough for Reading to go through because Brighton had to better Reading's result.
Yeah.
And in the 91st minute, old who put the cross in? Mikhail Smith has put in one of the best crosses I've ever seen from the left hand side. Whipped this ball in onto an absolute sixpence for a lure just to stick his head on it and Brighton to secure a place in the playoffs.
I would fancy Brighton for the playoffs now on the back of that. So I think
they haven't been playing well.
But neither have Wigan, and QPR have been patchy second half of the season. Derby
tomorrow night,
obviously
is it? Tomorrow night,
strong.
Tomorrow night's
I'd love
a derby
to see
game.
Brighton in the Premier League.
Mate, obviously being my hometown, exactly. It would be the greatest thing to happen for Brighton.
Yeah. I would like it, but at the same time, to play devil's advocate, it'd be terrible for Brighton because they close all the roads in Brighton, and if you're getting hordes and hordes of people around the station, it's not particularly pleasant place.
For the city itself, like for growth of the city and for everything, for the culture of the city to be involved in the Premier League, it'll only be for one season, mind you, unless they seriously invested. But for me, it'll be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And then obviously at the opposite end of the table, unbelievable scenes with Birmingham a matter of minutes away from going out of the league.
Yeah.
And the first goal from Zigic, were they 2-0 down?
I think they were, yeah. I'm
2-0
not
down, because I know Zigic got the first with a classic header, great header, and then just that final scurry, just to see, again, it's popped up, and you're thinking from 5 yards out, Zigic is going to put this in the back of the net, easy. Powder header, saved off the line by one of the defenders, and it falls to... I can't remember his name. Deidre's never scored a header goal in his life to pop it into the net, and the fucking crowd went mental.
Nick, who was here last week, was there as a Bolton fan.
Oh, was he?
And he said even though he didn't care, he said it was pretty amazing to watch and to hear the roar.
Oh, I got goosebumps just watching it. And then when the final whistle went, what's his name, the Birmingham manager?
Lee Clark,
diving into the crowd.
Very lucky to still be in the job.
Yeah, but you can see the passion and just that survival. I said, I think we've had this discussion before. Like, I'm hoping in my life, in my foreseeable future, I will never have that, especially like going from Championship down to League One, definitely. But having that for Spurs, like unless there was something disastrous happened, I'm never gonna have that feeling of survival.
That last day,
It's one thing, you know. Obviously, I had it when Peter Crouch scored against Man City to put Spurs in the Champions League for the first time at like late doors. Like that was unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's another level. But that's
one thing. Is sort of, it's about being happy. Sort of saving it, like getting you know, being
so
extra
to not
happy.
Be in that league.
Yeah, to being sort of like completely. Going from complete disaster to unbelievably happy, as opposed to just happy to more happy.
It's the dilution of your emotions as well, the further up it goes. I mean, as a United fan, I've been rather blessed down the years.
Rather blessed.
I'm putting it
rather
lightly.
Blessed.
But it's
fucking prick.
What I'm trying to say is, it's always meant more. Say we've had a year or two where we haven't won the league, as we're probably going to experience now. It's always meant more when you win it back. When we won the Champions League in 2008, absolutely fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I'm sure the year.
But when you're winning the league for the third year in a row, it's great, you're happy, but I do envy.
You become complacent. We are kind of different stages. You've got, the three of us being Premier League fans, and you've got Spurs, United and Arsenal, we all go through different, similar yet different emotions every year.
I am so fucking excited for this cup final. I bet
you are.
I cannot wait. It was, well, 13 when we last won a cup. Do you know what I mean? I've not experienced any success as an Arsenal fan. Yeah, 2005.
Which is ridiculous. You think about,
yeah, like, exactly.
You have never in your sort of adult life.
Exactly. Haven't really experienced in it. Yeah.
But you have an edge. Because I would say the same thing about Spurs. And I'd say you're an Arsenal fan. Obviously, an Arsenal fan, me being a few years older than you, my mate Arsenal fans have experienced that.
Yeah, same. My brother used to work at Highbury. He used to.
It never even occurred to me, I suppose, in the way that you. Yeah, okay, Champions League football is one thing, but a trophy.
If we win it, I'll be going to the open top bus parade, mate. I'm going to go fucking mental. I cannot wait.
It could be worse. It could be a Rochdale fan who've not won anything, and I think it's 104 years.
Brilliant.
In their entire time, they got promoted this season, but they didn't win the league. They've never won anything. So,
we haven't even spoken.
I was going to say
Champions League.
Well, Champions League, we'll talk about it in a second. So, just quickly on the Football League as well, commiserations to Bristol Rovers, who've gone down for the first time in their 94 year history. I was in Bristol on Saturday. I didn't witness anything, but then I can't remember if I did witness anything. So, it's a match. But also, conference playoffs, it's Cambridge versus Gateshead, and Gateshead have the opportunity to go up into the Football League for the first time in their history, which must be amazing for them.
I'm glad you threw it in there, because after the Championship I was struggling.
Yeah, but those of you,
when did we do the show last week? Was it on the Thursday or the Wednesday? No, did we talk about it?
It was Wednesday. It was Nick and Simon were here, weren't they?
We didn't talk about Chelsea.
Yeah,
or John Terry crying,
and ultimately Andy. I hope Andy cashed out. I didn't find if he did, because he would have lost his bet, wouldn't he? Yeah. We'll have to find that out.
So we've had John Terry and Luis Suarez crying this
good.
Week.
Yeah, such a shame.
Well, least favourite Premier League.
Our old friend Mr. Salmon on Twitter was talking about other things that make Luis Suarez cry, such as racial equality and good teeth.
Very funny.
Simon. Very funny. Like him. Is there anything else we really need to discuss? Because I'm fucking knackered.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to say, but I've forgotten it.
I don't want to be doing it because it's not.
No, I've literally it's completely gone. Benfica getting to the final of the Europa League, which they did, I believe, and they're playing. I can't remember who they're playing.
Sevilla got through with a very late goal.
Last minute goal. So I'll have my little Benfica scarf on. I'll be supporting them definitely. About time they won something.
I just thought of something else, but I've completely forgotten it. So it can't be. Phil Jones potentially missing the World Cup.
Oh shit!
And whether or not I thought, interestingly, that could, because Kyle Walker now potentially is fit for the World Cup. I wouldn't have taken Kyle Walker anyway, but could there conceivably be a situation where Kyle Walker replaces him, but then the knock-on effect of that, because you only have three specialist centre-halves, does that mean then you maybe take Michael Carrick, who's played at centre-half before, instead of your Ross Barkley or your Jordan Henderson or your Frank Lampard?
Well,
that's a very interesting
question. I don't think Lampard would have gotten a squad.
Next Monday, we'll do a show early doors next week.
Hodgson said that there's he basically said that because of United's poor season, like Carrick and Cleverley and co have got to be very worried about their place.
I don't think he said it was as much work, but he intimated it. He said it was also based on form over the last 2 years. So he said he's not making any snap decisions.
Based on form the last 2 years? Yeah. Oh yeah, Cleverley had a great 6 months, two years.
I'm not talking about the England squad, I think it is
interesting, especially the fact that we've got some potential injuries, that he's going to announce it early. Surely now with these injuries he might actually
why is he not taking it.
He is also going to announce his squad and then standby players, so seven standby players, so in theory he could announce.
Is he announcing the seven standby players as standby players?
Yes, he's announcing 23 and then seven standby, so there's been all sort of people in the press predicting things.
Ross Barkley, for me, that goal was fucking unbelievable. I love him, I absolutely love him.
The likelihood is Stephen Corker will be the backup centre half,
who they reckon Spurs might be looking at Marshall and Coulker, having with Cardiff having been relegated, because there's a clause in Coulker's contract when he went to Spurs. I think Spurs get first refusal if
Yeah,
go down.
If they go down.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, quickly, on the England World Cup squad, Neil Bevis, thank you for asking us whether we're for or against England, because we've got quite a few exceptional young talents coming through. Did we do it like Germany in 2010? Take a lot of young players.
100%. And that's the other thing. The one other thing we need to talk about, very quickly, the FA's introduction of the B team.
It's absolute. It works abroad because they have established systems where that's always been the case.
Exactly. But
it's bollocks, so,
yeah, it's ridiculous. It's never going to work.
That's it. But the talk of the young players helping young English players coming through, you look at the likes of Barkley. Even I'll put Townsend in there a little bit because he's still a young English player. Barkley, Townsend, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Sterling. Like, these are all very, very young English players that, in theory, are all either going or were very nearly going to the World Cup. Like, yeah. This is young English talent that's being brought through. How is potentially, bringing in these B teams going to...
I think the argument is it would effectively replace the loan system.
Yeah, so 100%.
More young English players from top flight clubs would get experience, because you take a club like United or Arsenal or Chelsea, Spurs, whoever, there's only a finite number of players they can loan out because they still have an under-21 squad that they have to fill and fulfil fixtures.
Yeah.
So if you put those into a lower league, you wouldn't need to, but then that would have a further knock-on effect, damaging the established club to our businesses.
Yeah. Is this going to be a greed of hoarding players and buying players and hoarding?
The fact that they don't have a fan base, I think, is a point that someone made. It's massive, isn't it? Who's going to really support Tottenham Beats?
I had a look because Real Madrid Castilla and Barcelona B both play in the Segunda Division, and they both get on average about 3,000 supporters. Now, there are clubs in League 2, there are a few get 3,000, but the majority are getting 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 at times. Yeah. Look at a club like Luton, and getting 6,000 in the conference. I mean,
not going to work, is it?
I think what you need
And it's proper fans. It's proper fans. It's not like friends and family of the players that are playing and the Tottenham fans that might just pop down because there's a bit of football.
Yeah, it's people whose life depends. But what I mean, they invest
Time and money.
What I think should happen is clubs higher up the spectrum should work closer with clubs in the lower leagues and have a better loan system. But
how the fuck have we been talking for 46
Jesus
minutes?
Christ, it's quite good
Did I fall asleep for about half hour?
I'm fairly sure there's dead air in the middle there somewhere for a bit.
We'll edit that out.
But anyway,
apologies for the slightly
extended.
Just slightly lower key podcast
compared to last week when it was 10 minutes away.
Next week we'll be back with aplomb. With a bit of luck, Arsenal losing the cup final.
Well, no, it won't be next week. Will be the build up to the cup final. So hopefully, after Liverpool losing the title this weekend,
That would be lovely.
Now I'm not going to jinx it. Whoever wins it, they'll deserve to win it. So, that's it. And on that thought, score. Email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Twitter @footballpodcast. This is a website, footballpodcastonline.wordpress.com. And we're on Facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Have a very nice week.
Bye.